Welcome to Voices of Freedom. It's great to have you here today. We're always thankful to be able to talk about Jesus for just a little while and just kind of see what's out there and what's going on. Just want to be able to share some things. And my thought this morning was Great Expectations. It was a book, I think, that Charles Dickens wrote, and it talked about a boy who had these high expectations that were backed up by a benefactor. And he goes on thinking throughout his life that I guess he's been backed by a certain woman, and she either doesn't know or doesn't care to let it be, you know, take credit, I guess you'd say. But at the end of the deal, the kid finds out that it was really someone that he had helped as a youth, and he had been his benefactor the whole time, and now you know the rest of the story. Now, what does that mean to you and me? Well, we're living in a day and time where we have great expectations for everybody else, but we really want to get with ourselves. We want all the mercy in the world. We want all the forgiveness in the world. We want to look past the mistakes that we make, and it's okay if you're willing to do that to somebody else, because it says there in the Bible, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul is the first great commandment, and the second one is to love thy neighbor as thyself. So the people I love, I look past their faults. I look past their problems. And you say, well, give me an example of that. Well, there's no greater example than the drug addiction that's sweeping our country right now. If you're addicted to drugs, you know, you're just in such a bad way, because I guess if you use some of this stuff one time, your body just needs it after that. So if your child is on drugs, you're looking for every program. You're looking for every bit of mercy. You're trying to tell the police, don't arrest him, you know, we'll watch him or we'll take care of him, or, you know, please give him another shot of the Narcan to bring him out of, you know, you're doing everything that can humanly be done for your child. But we have a real tendency to look at other people that are on drugs and say, that person right there needs to go to jail. That guy there is a criminal. When at the end of the day, when I read Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 23, I read one verse that says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And another verse that says, there's none good, no, not one. So at the end of the day, I can have all the great expectations that I want, but chances are, it's that kind of thing. Those expectations, if we're not careful, man, oh, man, you see, it's really going to mess you and me up. And I'm not saying we don't have goals and we don't have ambition to a certain level to do some things. I'm just basically saying we have a real bad tendency of having great expectations or expectations for others to perform at a level we want to see them perform at, when we don't want to perform at that level ourselves, you see. And there's a lot that could be preached on that. But I guess what brings me back there is I had a little Sunday school lesson last night in Romans chapter 12. Well, the thing about Romans chapter 12 was this. Make yourself a living sacrifice. Now you think about that. What in the world's a living sacrifice? Well, it is sure better than a dead sacrifice. The living sacrifice still has an opportunity to go forward and do some things, whereas the dead sacrifice, he has paid the ultimate price, which is his life. So as I read that in chapter 1, verse 12 of Romans, it doesn't take me very long. When it says your life, okay, that I surrender my life and I become a living sacrifice, which is my reasonable, okay? I think it says reasonable service or something like that, but it's my reasonable expectation. When I say I'm saved, I better show something. When I say I believe in Jesus, people need to see something. When I say that Jesus is leading my life, guess what needs to happen? You see, Jesus is in control of those things. There's a lot to that if we were to stop and take a good look at it. So think on it and just realize I've got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the positive. Well, the positive sign of a prayer life and a relationship with Jesus Christ is guess what I get to do? I get to talk to the creator of the universe anytime I want to talk to him. That is pretty big stuff. Now at the end of the day, there's some people out here in the world that are praying or posting a Facebook prayer that may not be saved. Well, guess what? God does not hear the prayer of you until he's heard your prayer that says, I surrender to you, right? I surrender to you. Well, what's the point of I surrender to you? Because if I don't surrender to Jesus and let him take over my life, none of this other stuff's going to matter. You see, none of this other stuff is going to be what Jesus wants it to be, because my life should be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice to God, because it's my reasonable expectation. It's God's reasonable expectation. Let me reword it. It's not what I'm expecting to do. It's not what, you know, I think might work, but I've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to get to this thing called heaven. Because I can't get my relationship through my wife, through my child, through my church, through my preacher, through my favorite Sunday school teacher. All those things are not going to come except to come straight through Jesus Christ. So at the end of the day, what's the point of all this? The point is really kind of scary. Because I think so many of us are running through life at breakneck speed trying to get to the next thing, and I'm guilty, man. I got a ton of projects right now. But we're not sitting down like this of a morning, and we're not saying, Lord, meet with me for just a little while. Energize me for a little while. Make me strong. Show me a place in the Bible I can read for encouragement. Give me something that I can go forward and really, you know, be fired up for you today. Because at the end of the day, guess what the plan is? Jesus is the plan. And the plan is that if I abide in Jesus, or I live in his ways and I live in his book and I live with him in my heart, I'm going to have a smoother life. Now, will I have everything I want? No, will not. Will I, you know, and I'll even go as far as saying, you know, a lot of people say, you know, well, God's going to hear your prayer if this or that, you know. I don't need to care what God's going to do for me anymore, because he's already done it. He saved me from hell. At the moment I got saved, I knew one thing. I was saved from hell. Now, 20 years later, I know this one thing still. I'm saved from hell. And anything God wants to let happen in my life or wants to do to me in my life to test me, to grow me, to, you know, or anything the devil wants to do to persecute me, our persecution in this country is way less than what it is anywhere else in the world as Christians. So we need to quit whining and be a little bit stronger on the Christian side of things. Now, I believe that. I mean, I don't care what you're saying. I don't care, you know, you can say it however you want. But I believe that. So we need to think on that, because part of this personal relationship with Jesus Christ is not being able to hide by with anybody else. And if you've ever been in a deal where you had to work through a middleman, or you never could get to the decision maker if you were trying to sell something to a business, it's a frustrating thing. So the fact that you and I have direct access should thrill us to death. I have direct access to Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. Because in the Old Testament, not everybody had access. The Holy Spirit would pick out someone and be with them and guide them and carry them and do all those things. But it wasn't universally handed out like it has been since Jesus sent the Comforter to us. We should be just a little bit excited about that. But there we go. So where are we in this great expectation of today? Every generation has said of the new coming generation, this is the worst generation yet. Well, there may be a little bit of truth to that, but at the same time, there is more information than there's ever been. There's more opportunity than there's ever been. There's more of a chance than there's ever been to really know about Jesus Christ and his plan for your life. The thing about your plan for your life is it's a selfish plan. And you say, well, you have no right to call me selfish. Well, you have great expectations for yourself. Follow me? But at the end of the day, you see, you have great expectations for yourself. But at the end of the day, if you're not saved, that's not God's expectations. God will rearrange your priorities. He'll rearrange your goals. He'll rearrange the ambition. He'll rearrange things in a way that suit his will for your life. And he will put you in the place he needs you to be to do the things he needs you to do, because at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to matter in a new heaven and a new earth are the amount of people that are there because you share Jesus Christ with them. You will not be able to take your property to heaven with you. You will not be able to take your favorite pet to heaven with you. You will not be able to get into a position here to take your cash in the bank to heaven with you, because you will not need it. And it's the same thing with everything else we've got going on. We live in a day and time where the confusion is at such a fever pitch that if everybody would just take a deep breath and say, you know, this is, what is this, you know? Sometimes you may need to just step away from the aggravation for a while. Step away and just see, here's what this thing is all about. See, here's what this thing is all about. It could always be worse than it is. People don't always believe it, but I tell you what, look around, check it out. You can see it can always be worse, and it doesn't have to be. Sometimes we just do it to ourselves. But listen, Jesus Christ has a plan for your life. I know you probably got things going on in your life today. You're aggravated, this is up, that's up, who knows what's next, and this and that and the other. But at the end of the day, guess what's going on? Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. And you can get that today. See, we're not in a position here. We're not in this. We don't have this great big master plan here where, you know, this is happening or that's happening or who knows what's going on. You know what I mean? We don't have all that. We've got to just focus this thing in, you know, because we're just bouncing, you know, project to project. I know I am. And a lot of people are just, I live day by day. Well, with Jesus, I need a little bit of a plan. With Jesus, it says pray without ceasing. We talked a little bit about that last night. Prayer isn't necessarily being down face in the dirt for 5 hours a day. Prayer, to me, could be driving down the road and you see a beautiful landscape or a beautiful blue sky or the greenery that's out here right now because of the rain or whatever's going on, and you say, Lord, I see your greatness in nature. Because in him and by him and through him was everything made that was made. So I can praise God for what he's created, because he's created it all. When he changes the seasons, how does he do it? When we need rain, how does he do it? You know, we go get a jug of water out of the faucet to water a plant, and God will water 100 acres or 1,000 acres or 20 square miles without any effort whatsoever from him. Do we praise him for his power? See, we serve an awesome God. Now, he's got expectations for you, and I'm telling you, they're great. They're greater expectations than you have for yourself, and that's where the problem is sometimes. See, God's expectations are so high for you that we mistake the idea that God is love for the idea that God will not judge my shortcomings and the things that I didn't do. Those are major problems in our lives. So let's look into it. How are we going to do it? Start reading that Bible. Start where I started the other day, John chapter 1, verse 1, and read through just a little bit. Find out what Jesus has in store for you. You can have great expectations for your life, but make sure the great expectations start with Jesus at the top of the page so that you know you have eternal life. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. It's going to be a hot one. And we'll try to check in with you sometime this weekend, and if not, Monday morning.